The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Paravista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
That's one of the beauties of this gospel story is the fact that in the book of Mark, we're left wondering, pondering, if these women would actually ever say anything. If they were ever put into a position where they had to make a stand, to stand almost in a court where they'd have to speak the truth. But the problem is, are they witnesses? What does a witness do? They have to see something first, and then what? They have to tell about it. What did they see? What did these three women see? They saw an empty tomb. What else? An angel? What else? A stone rolled away. Did they see Jesus? If they stood in a court of law, would their witness, would their testimony be valid? No. And why not? They didn't see the body. How many movies have we seen where if there's no body, there's no... That's the issue here, isn't it? They didn't actually see the risen Jesus at this point. In some ways, that's the problem, and that's what's going on in their minds. They've got this hope building within them, but any number of things could have happened. And it wasn't until that next day, or that a little bit later on in the morning, when Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. That's when things get interesting, isn't it? It's very easy for us to be able to speak when we've seen something, right? We're addicted to our eyes. We're addicted to our vision in some ways. I can tell you what I saw, but it's very much more difficult if someone tells me something and I feel like, am I just telling stories now? Could I trust that person? Can I trust you? Yes, I can trust him. That's the dilemma. That's the dilemma. About 50 days later, it was very easy for Peter to be able to share the story. He's standing in a group. Well, maybe not. Maybe easy is not the right word. Peter's standing in a group of people from all over the world, standing in the midst, and he's being a witness because he has seen. And what does a witness do? They have to name what the crime was, who the victim was. Who was the victim in this, in the crime? Jesus Christ, who was guilty or innocent. You're still with me. That's good. He was innocent, right? Who were the perpetrators of this crime? The Romans, the Jews, maybe even those who abandoned him in some ways. Okay, pretty much everyone. The crime, killing an innocent man on a cross, then incredibly afterwards, Jesus, the man of miracles, wonders and signs, was not kept in the clutches of death because death could not clutch him. That's the beauty of this story. But it was very easy for Peter 50 days to do it because he'd seen the risen Jesus. But as soon as Mary had told him on that same day, it says in the book of Mark, and the disciples and those nearest him didn't believe because they had not yet seen. We often skip that part. It's a scary thing to be a witness, isn't it? To stand in front of others and share. So we sit here in church, in some ways, in this congregation, and marvel and rejoice at that first story. And sometimes, if you're like me, I'd say, thank goodness that wasn't me that I had to make that decision like Mary and the other ladies. It's difficult to stand in the face of a group of people who may be anti-Christ. And you, like I, might feel a little overwhelmed at the thought of taking a stand in the midst of sharing that we believe that one man 2,000 years ago would rescue the entire world from its cave-in to sin. And now we can most certainly know how the women at the tomb felt when they showed up at Jesus' burial place, laden with sacks of spices to anoint Jesus' corpse so that in 1 year they could take his bones away and bury them, which was the tradition. They were overwhelmed. Amazingly, that word, overwhelmed. You know, there's that scripture in Mark 16 where it says, As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were, what was that word? Alarmed. In some places, it's afraid. But that word is only used four times in the Gospels, and they're all in Mark, and two of them are right here. He says, don't be alarmed. But that word translates in a couple of different ways. It can be, don't be afraid, don't be alarmed. But I like this word better. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be overwhelmed by what has just happened. What are the other two? When Jesus comes down the mountain after his transfiguration. What was the transfiguration? When Jesus' figure is transformed, he comes down. Perhaps he's still glowing. Perhaps he's still got a little bit of afterglow, right? He's come down the mountain. He's glowing. And the disciples are down there and they've been trying to cast out a demon of this young man and they can't do it. And so the crowd rushes up to Jesus and it says they're overwhelmed with joy. Have you ever been overwhelmed with joy before? Mm-hmm. I hope so. Whether it's the birth of your children, whether it's your marriage, whether it's you've seen a sunset that captures and encapsulates your whole life, overwhelmed with joy. You can be overwhelmed in that way. The other one, here is when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says, they went to this place in Gethsemane, and Jesus says, sit here. He took Peter and James. And then as he began to pray, he was deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed. Jesus himself is overwhelmed, which brings me great comfort. He's overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Have you ever been overwhelmed by sorrow before? It may have just happened in the last week or 2 weeks, or maybe when you were younger. Sorrow. To be overwhelmed by it is perhaps the worst place ever. It's a tomb in itself. And then we get to today's scriptures, overwhelmed with, if you want to look at it like this, overwhelmed with fear. But it seems like every time this overwhelming flood of emotions come to us that threatens in our lives to take us to a place where we cannot see Jesus, in some ways, the Spirit speaks to us and says, do not be alarmed, overwhelmed by your fear, even by your joy. Do not be overwhelmed by your sorrow, because this tomb is empty. Do you get it? The angel spoke to them and said, don't be overwhelmed where you can't speak, because this tomb is empty. Your fear has no power over you, neither angels nor demons. You heard the ladies say it has any power. He is risen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Being an eyewitness of that hallelujah is incredibly hard, because it seems so easy to be overwhelmed with life, whether by joy or sorrow or fear. And so Jesus shows himself to Mary Magdalene after they've been overwhelmed, and to two people walking in the road. I want you to go home, if you can today, and read the next eight verses after the one that we've had today. He appears to them. He appears to them all. And finally, to the 11, he rebukes them for being overwhelmed. But after the rebuke, he quickly pushes them forward to announce to the whole world and preach the gospel. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is alive. It's the wrong season, but I'm singing it anyway. Jesus is alive, and now you are ear witnesses to this resurrection. Do you get it? You are ear witnesses to this resurrection, so you can confidently say, and I say, I witnessed the results of the resurrection, of changed lives, of lives freed from pain and persecution and sin and the fear of death. And it has no power over us anymore. You are free. That's the key. You are free from sin, death, the power of Satan. Do not be overwhelmed by the tombs in your life, whether sickness or poor finances, broken relationships or faithlessness, because He is alive and God does not dwell in tombs. And neither do we have to. And if there is anxiousness or fear or death in your lives, remember the promise of Jesus Christ as He breaks the tomb. You have life with Him because Christ is alive, so can you live. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the broken tomb that has released death from us, from sin, from all things. Overwhelm us not by our emotions, by fear or sorrow or even joy, but overwhelm us by Your grace that we might go forth into this world and proclaim that death is no more. Give us the strength to stand as witnesses, as we witness to the power of the resurrection. We ask this in the name of the victorious Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.